Howdy ho! Welcome to another fantastic episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton, from eejournal.com, and this here is what we like to call a geeky news fest. Let me see some hands. Who's excited about Halloween coming up? This chick. I think I'm gonna step out of the box and dress up as a zombie DSP designer this year. Although, schlepping that O-scope through the neighborhood might be a bit of a problem. Speaking of creepy things, have you seen the new Russian android? Is it just me, or is that thing two steps away from being super creepy? The Russia 2045 movement, who is behind the creation of this new female android, is a Russian-based research project, and their goal is to achieve immortality in humans within the next 3 decades. Yes, really. How exactly? Well, the head of this research project, Dmitry Itzkov, plans to achieve immortality with the help of Russian-based robotics company Neurobotics by first implanting human brains in progressively more disembodied vehicles. Creepy. Then transplanting them into robots. Okay. And then finally, by the year 2045... hence the name, the teams plan to reverse engineer the human brain and transplant that human consciousness onto a computer chip. Oh my goodness. Well, the first step in all of these seriously sci-fi plans is the construction of Alyssa, the first female Russian android prototype. They're referring to this new android prototype as a telepresence android. Just that title is kind of creepy, right? Okay, to back up a little bit, this new Russian android isn't completely up to par with other android prototypes being developed around the world. First, it only has 8 points of articulation in its head, while other android heads have more than 30. The eyes and mouth of Alyssa, the new Russian android, are actually controlled by a standard gamepad. And Alyssa only has some pretty basic AI functionality. No, this is no embodied Watson just yet. Okay, so what's cool about this pretty limited movement mannequin android? Other than its creepily realistic face? Oh gosh! Which was based on a silicone mask made from one of Neurobotics' employees. Wonder what she thinks when she sees this android. Eek! Well, anyway, it's the telepresence mode of Alyssa where things really start to get interesting. You see, when someone is operating Alyssa in this mode, they can use Skype to communicate with the outside world. Alyssa's operator can use a headset, and there are accompanying cameras located in Alyssa's eyeballs that provide the video feed. Oh, but the team from Neurobotics is not stopping there. Oh no. The team says they are also experimenting with a relatively simple EEG, or electroencephalograph, addition to this prototype that will allow the operator to drive the robot's base using thoughts alone. Oh my goodness. So, what do you guys think about Miss Alyssa? Super cool? Super creepy? Or both? I'm leaning toward both, for sure. And in another story from Russia, except a whole lot less creepy, it was announced earlier this week that Java-based software company Excelsior is selling their Jet software pack for $10 a bundle until the end of the year. Okay, yes, I know, that in itself is not revolutionary. Cheap, sure, considering the price of the software pack normally. But the cool part of this announcement is that Excelsior is actually donating 100% of the proceeds of these charity software packs to Russia-based children's cancer charity Gift of Life. Did you know that in Russia, treatment for cancer and other potentially fatal diseases is only partially covered by the state? a large portion of the healthcare costs, as much as 66%, must be shouldered by the families themselves, who are often living below the poverty line. And Excelsior is trying to make a small dent in those costs. Now, Excelsior has a pretty low bar for the first phase of this Software for Charity fundraiser. Their goal is only $1,000 raised before the end of the year. And if this campaign is successful, they plan on extending the offer even further. So here you go, fish frying fans, it's up to you. Check out the link on this week's page entitled From Russia with Love. Follow that link, then download the Jet software pack for the price of 3 grande lattes. Come on, do it for me. And now it's time for a completely not related to Russia in any way interview. Folks, I love my MacBook Air, but sometimes I think it'd be kind of handy to have a touchscreen on my laptop. Don't you think? Well, that is actually the subject of this week's interview. How about that segue? My guest is Rob Frizzell, Field Marketing Director for Atmel, who will be chatting with me about the newest advances in touchscreen technology for ultrabooks and laptops, what LCD noise has to do with it, and when we will get to utilize this technology for our very own designs.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Rob.
Thank you.
Atmel has a strong presence in the microcontroller and touch technologies, and Mac's touch controllers can be found in a wide variety of familiar touch devices. Tell me what's new and different with this latest edition.
Well, the latest version, this MXT3432S, this actually extends the reach of our Max Touch family to support designs that can go as large as 17.3 inches. We've seen as Windows 8 has been developed and is ready to roll out here that we're drifting out of not just your regular tablets down at around 10 inches, but now up into the ultrabook market at 13.3 inches and then even notebooks at 15 to 17 inches. So this new Max Touch device actually supports all the way up through that range. So you'll see touch basically show up on all of your PCs in the future.
Very cool. So you said this is designed for larger screens like tablets and ultrabooks. What do you think are the differentiating features of this new device? And how will designers and us as consumers benefit from these new features?
The MXT, the 3432S, is what we call our latest S-Series products. And there was a lot of extra features built into this device for noise immunity. So designers, OEMs, are trying to thin down the size of the display. And ultrabooks, as an example, Intel has specified literally what the thickness of the total ultrabook should be. And everybody's trying to save the space, so they're thinning down the touch sensor, and we get closer to the LCD, which is a noisy source for us. Now, this S-Series devices in the MXT3432S has new algorithms built in and capability to have immunity against that noise, and then you can get yourself these much thinner products. And along with that noise immunity, people may be using lower-cost chargers. And again, with these algorithms, we're able to enable the system without having kind of false touches, even with these kind of cheaper, noisy chargers.
Great. The new Max Touch device is also Windows 8 certified, correct? Tell me about your relationship with Microsoft, and what does it take to get certified?
Yeah, so we've been working with Microsoft for quite a while on Windows 8. We were one of their partners in the development and helped feedback to them what's required for the touch experience, what are the parameters, what are the specifications that they should be including in the specification. Microsoft has kind of raised the bar for the touch experience. You know, touch was one of the features for Windows 8, and they have put together the spec and then testing that goes along with it. So every single system that goes into the market will actually have the touch solution tested to meet the Windows 8 certification. There's a number of parameters that they look at. Some of them happen to do with pinch separation, for example. how close you can detect the touch to the edge of the screen, things like that. So all of our systems that are in this MXT3432S that are designed into OEM solutions are tested by ourselves first, and then they are actually tested by Microsoft as well. And that is one of the reasons this product is what we say Windows 8 certified. Come October 26, when you see Windows 8 products that are there in the stores, those have been certified and logo tested by Microsoft. And some of those with the larger screen sizes, the 13, 14, 15-inch, may very well be using the 3432S.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today, Rob.
All right. Thanks a lot.
And now it's time for a little nerdy giveaway, my friends. Now this week, I've got another Spartan 6 LX9 microboard, courtesy of Xilinx, to throw your way. First, the winner of last week's LX9 microboard is Bithead. And if you didn't hear already, let me fill you in on the details of this super cool kit. This kit comes with several pre-built MicroBlaze systems, allowing users to start software development just like any standard off-the-shelf microprocessor. The kit also includes a software development kit, or SDK, providing a familiar Eclipse-based environment for writing and debugging code. It includes peripherals and expansion interfaces that make this kit ideal for a wide range of applications. From a system running in RTOS to a Linux-based web server, the Spartan 6 LX9 microboard can help you validate your next design. So, if you want one of these kits for your very own, just post a comment on this week's Fish Fry page entitled From Russia with Love, and by the end of next week, I'll pick one of the people who have posted and bam, send them this kit in the mail. Easy as that. So get posting. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including Initiative 2045, Atmel's new Max Touch S series touchscreen controllers, and even a picture of me posing with this week's nerdy giveaway, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of October 26th, 2012, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.